Entonces, in Jesus' name, our Lord and our God, we want to thank you for the week just gone. We want to thank you for the week we are starting. Lord, as we come into your presence to start a new week, we pray, O Lord, that you are going to wash us with your word this morning in Jesus' name. You will prepare each and every one of us for the challenges to come this week. Lord, we know that we indeed will be victorious this week in Jesus' name. Father, everyone that will partake of this morning's teaching by reason of your presence, I pray that they will be timely in Jesus' name. Lord, that they will meet with their destiny in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are still talking about time and timeliness. As you know, we took a text from Ecclesiastes 3. We read from verse 1 to 8. And we looked at the Bible's concepts of time. We also talk about the fact that our life in the continuum of the time in God's hand is just like a window. It's just a segment of the big picture. And we said that is why it's so important that we understand the plan and the purpose of God for our lives, and that we need to work with the Holy Spirit if we are going to be able to do things at the right time. That is God's own time. Yet, last week we dealt extensively with how we utilize our time. We said it is possible for us to be busy even in the so-called things of God, and yet they may not be of eternal value. In other words, it is possible for us to be laboring, running around, and all our labor may not be of eternal value. That will not be your story in Jesus' name. So we took a look at some of those reasons why what we do may not be of eternal value. We said it has to be, when we serve God, we have to serve Him with the right attitude. It must be with the right attitude. Secondly, if we are busy for the wrong reason, if we are not busy for the right reasons, for example, the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, the workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's who God says we are. So, if we don't get our priorities right, we may be busy and yet be ineffective. We said the third reason why the time we spend or our busyness may not be of eternal value is if we do what we are doing for the wrong reason, like greed. You know, we may be spending time in the presence of God just for people to see us, that we are anointed, we are good, we are this, we are that. We say there's no value in it. In fact, we may be preaching, we may be doing all sort of things for God, if it's not with the right attitude, it will not be rewarded. And we said, fourthly, busyness may not be of eternal value if we are busy in order to please men rather than please God. If we are busy working hard to please men rather than please God. We said the purpose of everything we do, as in Corinthians 10:31. Can somebody open to 1 Corinthians 10:31? The purpose of whatever we do must be to glorify God. Outside of that, whatever we do will be a waste of time. The main purpose of all the things we do must be to glorify God. Otherwise, the time we spend will be ineffective. It must be to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, what is the meaning of whatever? And everything. So it says everything that we do must be done with one purpose. What's that purpose? To glorify God. My prayer for us this morning is that our lives will glorify God in Jesus' name. Now, we are going to quickly look at time in relation to God. As we have learned, for man, he has only very, very short time. Even if he lives for 200 years, he has only very short time. When you look at time, the extent of the time that is available to God, because he himself is the beginning and he is the ending. So for him, time is infinite. He's not constrained by time. So God has time on his hand. He's not constrained at all. Unlike us, we are constrained, because there are things we need to do at certain times. And if we don't do them, remember I said it's a window. And people often say it's a window of opportunity, you know. And if you miss that opportunity, it may never come again. But for God, he has time on his hand. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Timothy 1, 17. Can somebody read 1 Timothy 1:17? Amen. So, our God is immortal. He's an eternal king. So there's nothing like, you know, his position is going to change. Say, unto the king, eternal, immortal, invisible. He's not touched by things. Nothing changes him. He changes things. Nothing moves him. He moves things. Nothing displaces him. He displaces things. So time in the hands of the Almighty God is infinite. He's going nowhere. He's not in a hurry. Praise the Lord. Unlike us, that we need to do what we have to do at the right time. 2 Peter 3:8. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, with God, 1,000 years is just like one day. So it's, you know, he's the author of time. He can choose to bring time forward or even choose to bring time backwards. He's not in a hurry. But we are the one who need to get things right because we have limited time. Remember the psalmist says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. In other words, teach us to number our days so that we can use our time judiciously. So that we can use our time for what they are meant to be used for. So God does his things at the time he appoints. God will do his own thing at the time he alone appoints. Because he knows the right time to do it. He chooses to consummate plans that he has made from the beginning of eternity at a particular point in time. Galatians chapter 4 verse 4. Galatians 4 4. He said, but when the fullness of the time was come, I want you to take note of the way it's phrased, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. When the fullness of the time means there's a specified time. There's a time appointed. So God was the one who appointed the time, and when the time came that God wanted to consummate his plan for mankind, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. When the time of God comes to bless you, nobody can hold back his hand. When the time of God comes to lift you up, nobody can stop him. When the time of God comes to reveal himself to you, nobody can dissuade him. And I pray that your time will come now in Jesus' name. That you will see the goodness of God in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. At the appointed time of God, he makes things to happen and they don't just happen. That's why it's so important to know the timing of God and to wait for God's time. Things don't just happen. He also makes them beautiful. He also makes them beautiful. You know, when you say something is beautiful, it means it's so good. You know, there's really no other way you can do it and make it better. It's really so nice, it's so wonderful, it's desirable. In other words, by the time that God chooses, you know, to do his own thing, you look at it and say, wonderful, it's so good. Thank God he didn't do it yesterday. Thank God he didn't do it last year. If he had done it last year, it wouldn't have been like this. If he had delayed it till next year, no, the story wouldn't be the same. Look, if he did it 10 years ago, it wouldn't have been this wonderful. You know, he makes everything beautiful in his own time, not in our time. And this is very important in the sense that as children of God, there will be time that we are looking unto God for something. We are looking out to God for breakthrough. We are looking out to God for promotion. We are looking out to God for healing. We are looking out to God to be anointed by him. We are looking out to God to get direction. There are many things we may be looking out to God for. And you have been praying for so long, and it looks like God is not answering you. I want to tell you that God hears you and he's answering you. When his time for you comes, it will be the best answer you ever get in your life. That is God for you. It's so important that we take this point in. If you look at all the people who will not wait for the time of God, who move before God moves, if you look at their story, it will often leave a bad taste in their mouth. An example is Abraham. God had promised Abraham at about the age of 75 that he was going to give him a son. When they waited, Sarah suggested to him to have a child through Hagar. And you know the rest of the story. So when we trust in the Lord, we also wait for his time. Your time will come in Jesus' name. I say your time will come in Jesus' name. You will not die before your time in Jesus' name. He can slow time down, he can stop it, or even hasten time for the sake of the elect. That's one wonderful thing about God. He's done it before. He will slow things down. He will hasten things. He held his son in place. When King Hezekiah wanted a sign, God, you know, brought back the clock for him. That's only God who can do that. He has control over time. Let's look at James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. James 4, 13 to 17. Praise the Lord. So in our planning, the Bible says we must factor in God. We must factor God into it. Even things that appear simple, things that appear little, we must factor God into them. It must be a way of life. Let it come from our heart that everything we do, we factor God into it. God willing, by the grace of God, you know, and let's mean it. Let genuinely mean it. Let not say, oh, look, I will ensure that you will not. This, you know, if you say so, if God refuses to agree with you, what will happen? The individual will be put to shame. You know, I always remember the story of the rich fool. He said, now I have plenty. I'm going to build a barn and I'm going to put it inside. I'm going to store it. I'm going to make sure it's secure. Nobody will be able to steal it. Nobody will be able to take it. Even if my neighbor begs me, I'm not going to give him a little out of it. Nobody. Look, I've suffered all these years. This year, the Lord has really blessed me. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to look after it very well. I'm not going to miss this opportunity. In fact, nobody will ever come to me and I'll give them a grain out of that rice. And the Bible said, God said to him, you fool, tonight your soul is required of thee. And that was the, after all the plans, after all, you know, all that he has put in place, your plans will not fail in Jesus' name. because God will approve of your plans, so they will not fail in Jesus' name. The other thing that we need to be aware of is that what God can do at a particular point in history is irrespective of external circumstances. What God can do, can choose to do at a particular point in time, is irrespective of external circumstances, irrespective of what is happening, irrespective of the situations around you, irrespective of the prevailing circumstance, the weather, the economic condition, the budget forecast, you know, the projections of economies, it's irrespective of that. So that is God's attitude to time. It's what God wants to do when he chooses to bless you. It's irrespective of what is happening around you. That's why I like the book of Ecclesiastes, where it says, he who looks at the wind or takes account of the wind will not sow. In other words, there's a tendency for us to look at external circumstances. There's a tendency for us to look at what is happening around us. There's a tendency for us to focus on what we know. But the Bible says, if we look at the wind, we may not sow. And if you don't sow, you cannot reap. But I want to let you know that what God will do is irrespective of the time, the circumstance prevailing at the time. Let's look at Proverbs 19:21. Proverbs 19:21. Praise the Lord. See, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. It's what God wants to do that will be done. In fact, you can start out to do something and God will just change it to something else. God will turn it to something that will serve his purpose. I pray that your plans and your actions will line up with God's purpose in Jesus' name. Because only what God plans prevails. He can call and he can recall. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 18 to 22. God can call, he can recall. He can look at a man and say, look, because of the way you are going, because of your faithfulness, you are going to live, because I have use for you. You are useful to the kingdom, therefore you will live. He can look at a man and say, look, you that you are making boast, you are an obstruction, I recall you. God will not recall you before your time in Jesus' name. Look at Matthew chapter 8, 18 to 22. Praise the Lord. I'm sure we've read this passage over and over again. We are saying God is the one who calls and he chooses to recall. Here was Jesus. Somebody came and said, God, I said, Master, I want to follow you. Basically, what Jesus told him was that there was no place for him there. Because, of course, he knew the attitude and said, look, my purpose is not what you think it is. I have nowhere to lay my head. You cannot follow me. You are not designed for this. And there was someone else who was going to miss their destiny, miss their opportunity. Don't give excuses. So in other words, God will sometimes bend over backwards to draw some people to himself. If you look at the two people concerned, one was a scribe. They were the educated people of those days, the well placed of those days. The Yorubas would call them the Ojogbons, the intellectuals, wanted to follow him. He said, no. And the Bible said, one of his disciples, one of those he has called, now said, look, I want to go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, don't go. Follow me. He will call you today in Jesus' name. Amen. He will approve of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Everything that will be an obstacle or an obstruction or an excuse as to why you will not be able to follow him, the Lord will remove it from your way in Jesus' name. He appoints time for man to be born. Time to be blessed. Time to be promoted. Time to be demoted. You see, there's nothing as good as knowing God's time for your life. You will know God's time for your life in Jesus' name. Let's look at the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 14. So, he appoints time for people. He appoints time for people. And so if we are not attentive, we are not sensitive to the things of God, it is possible to miss the appointed time. It's possible to miss the appointed time. So if you are there, can you please read Esther chapter 4, verse 14? Can somebody read? Praise the Lord. That is very, very powerful. Did we hear that? Who was speaking there? And who was he speaking to? Mordecai was speaking, was the uncle of Esther. And he said, come. Go before the king. And you know, it was the rule that if the king did not invite you and you appear before him, he could order that you be killed. The king had not invited Esther. But because there was a conspiracy to destroy the Jews, and they approached him to take a risk for them. They approach her to take a risk for them and go before the king. And Esther was in doubt. And you heard what she was told. To me, it's very powerful. And it applies to each and every one of us. He said, for if you keep silent at this time, remember, at what time? This time. If you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance shall arise for the Jews from elsewhere. In other words, if God calls you, you choose not to answer his call at this time, God will call someone else. If God puts you somewhere to serve him, and you choose not to serve him, and you think, oh, or you are serving him, and you think your contribution is the best, that without you, the work of God will not go forward. The work of God will go forward, though, and I've seen that so many times. He said, help will arise from elsewhere, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows but that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this and for this very occasion. So you may not know the reason why you have come. The reason you have come may not look beautiful to you. It may not look attractive. The reason John the Baptist came was to cry from the wilderness. If John the Baptist refused to stay in the wilderness and cry, and he chose to live in the city of Jerusalem, he would have missed his destiny. You will not miss your destiny in Jesus' name. He said, because if you keep quiet, help will arise for the Jews from elsewhere. That's why every time I come together with the people who minister, and I say to them, I thank God, Father, you know, let's just thank God for an opportunity like this. Honestly, it's an opportunity. It's a privilege to be able to stand before you and proclaim the power of the Almighty God. It's a privilege. It's really a privilege. If he chooses to silence me this moment, I'm gone. It's just a forever grateful to God for it. So you should be. Is it for a time like this? That money that God put in your pocket is for, you know, for to glorify God. It's for a time. Because a time will come when it will be useless to you if you don't use it for the purpose of God. That strength that God has given you, that wisdom that God has given you to build people up, if you don't use it, if you use it to destroy people, let me tell you something, the time will come, it will fail you. That is time in the hands of God. You are made for a purpose, for a particular time. You will not miss your time in Jesus' name. Let's look at Psalm 39, verse 4 and 5, as we close this Sunday school. Psalm 39, verses 4 and praise the Lord. Each man's life is but what? A breath. What does that mean? Honestly, the difference between death and life is one breath. It's just one breath. And the person just stops. And that's all. That separates him. And I shared with you the other time. And you know what? The moment you stop breathing, everybody abandons you. They just separate you from the living. They put you somewhere. That very moment, people begin to refer to you in the past tense. Ah, he was so good. He was so nice. He said this, so he was that. Oh, that very moment, they begin to refer to you in the past tense. From that moment, it's just one breath that separates us from not being alive. So if we live in the consciousness of this, we will lift up the name of God. We will allow God to take his rightful place in our lives. He says our life is like a vapor. So that is time in the hand of God. He can do what he likes with it. He can do what he wants with it. He can choose to promote. He can keep alive. He can kill. He can do all that he wants to do with time. He owns time. So can we just rise up this morning and approach God and say, you are the author of time, Lord. My time here, O Lord, will be used to your glory. You are the author of life. My time here is unto blessing. My time here is unto glory. My time here is unto, you know, promotion. My time here will affect my generation positively. My time here will change lives for good. My time here, oh, will be a blessing to your people. My time will be used to the praise and the glory of your name. My time. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord this morning. Remember that our time is but like a vapor. It's just a window in the continuum of time. Pray that you be of relevance in your generation. It is possible to amass wealth and not be of relevance. It is possible, you know, to have everything and you be in one corner. You think you are enjoying peace, and what God intends for you is to be of relevance, and you are not of relevance. You are going to be of relevance in Jesus' name, because your time has to be used appropriately and in line with God's plan and purpose for your life.